Hey, everybody, and welcome back to our podcast on statistics for the social sciences. We are finishing up our week two discussion around different measures of descriptive statistics, including the mean, median, and mode, which were featured in our last episode. And today we're going to talk about measures of variation. Jenny here, glad to be joining you again. And today we don't have quite as long an episode as the last time. We don't have quite as many slides to get through, but we do have some big concepts today. And I want to make sure we have adequate definitions and understandings of these because, frankly, things like standard deviation and variance are really important for us to understand things about groups. And that's pretty relevant to the social sciences where we often study groups of people. Okay, you probably know my routine by now, but go ahead and make your way to the week two roadmap page if you haven't already. Crack open those slides on averages and variability, and we're going to be starting at around slide 35. It's a visual of someone marking off a piece of lumber, and it says getting into measures of variation. So variability is the first thing we need to define and understand. And variability in a data set is just going to mean how much the scores differ from one another in that data set. So if we visualize this as a normal distribution, and just FYI, we talked about normal distributions in my last episode or in the last episode, that distribution is going to look really different if there's high variability versus low variability. So the normal distribution in a data set where things are pretty similar to one another is going to look more like this very peaked hill, like really tall and really kind of the sides with steep slopes. If it's medium variability, you're still going to have a pretty good size like height on the hill and the sides are going to come down a little more slowly. And if there's high variability, it's more like a rolling hill, like you're slowly coming up to the top and slowly going out the side. And what you can see in slide 36 is that that red hill is the low variability, the blue hill is medium, and the green hill is high variability. One quick point, notice that all of those hills have the same mean, right? This does not mean our data sets have different means. It just means our data is spread out differently. And to give you an example, go to the next slide, which has three different data sets with the same mean. You'll see that the range of scores in data set one or values in data set one from 12 to 3 is a lot bigger than the range of values in data set three, which only goes from, 8 to 6. If you were to picture each of those data sets' variations and compare them to one another, that's the next slide where it says each data set's variation. 3 is a very small spread of only 2. That's our low variation. Data set 2 has a spread of 4 for moderate variation. And data set 1 has a spread of 9. That's that big rolling hill. That's how that one would look. It'd be more like the green rather than the red. Let's take a look at another example because I want to visually explain a few of the measures we're going to use to describe variability, because we can give a picture, but we can also use different statistics or descriptive statistics measures to summarize that data. Slide 39 shows us what is called a histogram. Now, a histogram is a type of graph that we'll actually describe a bit more in depth in our next set of materials, but it's a display of the number of times we have a certain value in our data set. So this histogram shows that, let's say, 150 people in our data have a gross monthly salary between $900 and $925. And we have very few people who have a gross monthly salary around $1,300, or there's one extreme value at $1,500. Again, this is the count or the number of times we see that value listed at the bottom in the data. So this histogram, first of all, is not a normal distribution, right? Go back to our slides for mean, median, and mode and decide, is this a negatively skewed distribution or a positively skewed distribution? And then what you can see is that I've drawn the curve over the top of it. That should help you to identify which type of distribution it is. We definitely see that the tail is pulled out to the right because of the more extreme values on the end, and those are going to be outliers again, something we talked about last time. So if I take away the actual graph of the histogram and I just leave the curve, I'm going to move on to slide 40 and use that curve to describe what two important measures are with respect to variability. And those two are range and standard deviation. So the range is simply calculated or understood as being the difference between the most extreme values, the lowest and the highest. And you'd calculate that by just taking the highest value and subtracting the lowest value. So if we're thinking about data set one from before where we had those listed numbers, this would be 12 minus 3. Our range would be 9. Now the standard deviation, it's a little more complex to figure out. Standard deviation relies on us figuring out the difference between all of our data points and the mean. Then we have to square those differences, add them all up, and divide by the number of values we had minus the number one. And then we have to take the square root. So that's the formula to calculate it. The reason we're doing that is, well, we have to figure out the length of each of the orange lines that are pictured in this slide. Those orange lines are the distance between each of our black data points and the blue line that is the mean, the blue dashed line. The standard deviation, conceptually, is just the average length of those orange lines. But the confusing thing about the math is if you just tried to do a normal average where you added them all up and you divided by the number of values you added, the way this is going to work is we're going to end up with zero when we add them all up. Because all of the distances on the left side of the mean, or where the values would be, let's say, negative, are going to be equal to all the distances on the right side of the mean. But the left side is going to be negative numbers, and the right side is going to be positive numbers. We can do this as a practice, or you can check out this and test it with an activity we're going to do here in a minute. But trust me when I say, if all of the orange lines on the left side of the mean in this picture were negative numbers and all of the lines on the right side were positive numbers, adding them all up would just give you zero. They totally offset each other. So that's why we have to use the process of squaring those values. And just not to assume anyone remembers this from math, but squaring means to take a number and multiply it by itself. So the formula that you get for standard deviation is a few slides down. We're going to, again, do a little practice with this, and I want you to try it on your own without looking too far ahead in the slides. But standard deviation is that exact calculation. Taking all those orange lines, squaring them to get rid of the negative numbers, add them up, divide by the number of values minus one. And the reason we do that is that helps us get a better estimate. If you have questions about why we subtract one, the quick and dirty answer is because it helps us get a better estimate of actual standard deviation, and the much longer answer is something I'd have you email me about because it's a bit complicated. But we divide by the number of values minus one, and then we take the square root because we need to reverse what we did with the squaring process. Now, if you didn't take the square root, you'd actually just have the measure that's called the variance. It's the standard deviation squared, or just doing that whole standard deviation process without that final step of taking the square root. Now, visually speaking, I can kind of represent for you what these are on the next slide, where we're thinking more about, let's say, heights of different children. The range is probably the easiest thing to visualize. If you look at the right-hand side of that slide where it says measures of variation in the data, it shows, look, the range is between the height of the tallest kid and the height of the shortest kid. That's the full range, largest minus smallest. The standard deviation on the left-hand side is that average distance of all of their heights from the true average of all the heights. So that red line going through the picture of the children is the mean. And the standard deviation is the pink range around it. There's a deviation above and below. It's the distance from that mean that is truly our average distance between any of the heights and the average height of the whole group. Okay, take a deep breath, move to the next slide. And I say take a deep breath because this next slide is, it's a math formula. And most times I present this in class, people kind of get that either large, wide-eyed kind of look, or they kind of give a little bit of a, ugh, right? Because we're into math formulas. Now, we're not going to avoid those in this class, right? That's part of what we do with statistics is we look at formulas. We are not going to memorize formulas. That's not a request I have of you. But we do need to kind of understand the formula because as math goes, we like to use it and we like to summarize it with abbreviations or just letters that stand in for something or maybe even, you know, values from another language such as, you know, Greek. Well, we need to explain all of this. So the formula is S equals, and then you see that square root sign over sigma of x minus x bar squared, all in a, you know, fraction over n minus 1. Okay, stepping back. The S, the small s on the left side of the equal sign stands for standard deviation. The top of our fraction, that sigma with the x minus x bar squared, says add up all of the values after you subtract the mean from those values and square that number. So the steps for the process would be, I take each of my values in my data set and I subtract the mean. Then I square that number that I get. So if I had six values in my data set, I'm gonna have six different numbers that I have calculated as x minus the mean. And then I'm gonna square all six of those numbers. Then I'm gonna add those numbers together. That is the top half of that fraction. The bottom half is just the number of data points minus one. So if I had six values in my data set, it's going to be six minus one, which is going to give me five. I take what I've added up in the numerator of that fraction, I divide by the number five, and then I take the square root of that number to give me my standard deviation. Now the practice is shown on the next slide, and I've gone through with all of the steps, but if you can, try not to go all the way to that, or if you've rolled to it, go back. And I want you to practice calculating standard deviation using a calculator and mostly by hand with the numbers of 12, 10, 8, 8, 5, and 3. And what you need to do is follow the steps in the formula. So take each of those numbers, add them together, and divide by 6 to get your mean, because you need that to begin your first step. Then take each of those numbers and subtract the mean from it. You'll get six different numbers. Each of those numbers that you get after you've subtracted the mean needs to be squared. Once you've squared them all, add them all together, and then divide by the number of values minus one. There's six values in this data set. After that, take the square root of what you've calculated and see if it compares like or is the same, excuse me, as what you see on the let's practice this using a basic data set slide. Now, for those who have maybe scrolled ahead a little bit, you're going to see I've listed all the steps on the slide, including what the correct answers are. But I'd like you to, again, practice for yourself and see if you get the same things as what you see on this slide. All right, hopefully you took a little bit of time to do that practice. And now we're heading back into using SPSS again. If you haven't installed the program yet, or if you haven't gained access to it yet, it is really critical that you establish that soon, because our first SPSS assignment is coming due in the very near future. So you'll need to get that to me by Sunday, September 7th. And when you do that assignment, you actually need to do it in SPSS using that statistical software to complete the assignment, because I ask you to give me the tables that that program creates when you follow the steps for the assignment. The assignment is going to have you walk through calculating the mean and the median and the mode, as well as things like the standard deviation and the variance. Make sure that you look through all of the steps for SPSS assignment 1 on Canvas. And don't forget the part where I said don't put in the frequency distribution table. The frequency distribution table in SPSS is going to be the big long table that it creates where it lists all of the values in the data set and how many times it happens, which is very similar to the histogram we looked at before. A histogram is just a visual representation of a frequency distribution table. Okay, enough deviating. I want you to look through the steps on the next several slides in SPSS and follow those steps to, again, calculate standard deviation and variance with those same 6 values that we had before. If you follow the steps in the blue boxes, including things like making sure that you create a new data set, you add a variable named age on the variable view side, and then go back to the data view side and type in our numbers, then analyze, go to descriptive statistics and frequencies, and make sure that you choose things like mean, median mode, standard deviation, variance, range, and then I've got minimum, maximum, and standard error of the mean checked there as well. Those are the statistics we need for the age. And what you get should look like what is pictured on slide 50, along with my fun graphic of Bill and Ted saying, "Most excellent, we match." Okay. That's pretty much it for this episode. I really just wanted to introduce those variance concepts, variation concepts. And if you're having questions about those, please let me know. Otherwise, I want you to keep practicing using SPSS. And I also want you to understand that the reason we're doing all of this is not simply because I want you to suffer through doing statistics. I don't want that at all. I don't want you to suffer. I want us to find a way to do these numbers and figure these things out because they're really critically important, again, when we think about the kinds of research questions we want to answer about people. So let's say your question is one of the ones that I love, or at least love looking into. How do inmates do in prisons if they go through classes or not? Well, something like standard deviation and the averages are going to help me know if most inmates who take classes do better than others. Do they come back to prison less? That's going to be an average. And then how do we have differences in that group? I'm going to be looking at things like standard deviation. Those values, those mathematical calculations, aren't valuable in and of themselves. They're valuable in the way that they help me answer the questions about what is worth it in terms of prison programming, what helps people stay out of prison or keep from going back to prison again. And that value or these numbers that we're calculating can apply to all types of different questions. Let's say you want to investigate foster care, or maybe you're thinking about depression and whether it makes a difference to have gratitude or work on building your resilience. Maybe you're interested in sports, and you want to think about the differences between teams and their strategies. Or maybe you're thinking more along the lines of, well, what about environmental effects on groups? And how do we see differences in the groups? All of these measures are going to help us better understand those groups. And when we see differences in groups, what we can say is, yes, either this is something that's meaningful, that's important for us to know and understand, or perhaps it's not that big a deal, and therefore we don't need to focus on it as much. The why care about this slide is where I'm ending, because I want you to know that I am not going to ask you to do math just for the sake of doing math. We're doing the math and the statistics in service of answering bigger, more important questions that help us in some way, hopefully live better lives. That's really what we need to be thinking about with statistics for the social sciences, is how can we use what we know and what we learn and what we gain from research to improve the lives of the people that we're studying or ourselves. All right, that wraps up this episode. Please make sure that you are looking into the reading, keeping up with the reading. The chapters really aren't terribly long. So for next time, we're going to be talking about graphing, and that is covered in chapter 4 of your textbook. We're also going to be spending a fair bit of time in SPSS because our second SPSS assignment is about creating graphs. Our first quiz is due this Sunday. Please make sure that you are looking over those quizzes and deciding if you are interested in doing this one or not. I would honestly encourage you to go ahead and do the first quiz just so you get familiar with it. And then if it's not a great quiz for you, it can always be dropped if you do 5 others and perform better on those. Make sure you keep posting to the discussion boards. And remember, you only need to do 5 discussions as well. So if this week is a lot for you to manage with that, go ahead and set it aside and come back to that set of assignments later. And then keep your eyes open for upcoming assignments, specifically the research project survey and SPSS assignment 1, which, by the way, you've worked through all of the steps for at this point in time. So you should be able to complete and submit that now. If you have any other questions or concerns, as always, don't hesitate to email me and I will get back to you as soon as I can. All right, I wish you all a great rest of your day and week, and I hope to have you tuning in again soon.